You are watching Notepad, and I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. The business of trust is extremely crucial for any organization to partake. The thing about trust, as we have heard many, many times, is that it takes a lifetime to build, but only seconds to be destroyed. And because of this, we also want to understand a little bit better about how trust is being built during a pandemic, a situation where sometimes consumers might find it hard to reach out to the organizations that they want to purchase or have access or interact with. Because of that, I have with me on the line right now Arun Menon. He is, of course, the boss of Ipsos Malaysia. Arun, thanks for dropping by and taking the time to speak with us.
Hello. Hi, Ibrahim. Good to be on the show back.
The last time you were here, we were talking about some service that you've done, particularly not just in Malaysia, but of course, Southeast Asia. Right now, I want to ask you about Ipsos's Trust Track survey. Because in this survey, it follows the kind of trust that organizations have or not have, for that matter, and how trust can be built. So talk through us with the survey before we go into other questions.
Okay. So this is a survey we have done over the last 6 months period. So it's not a short period of time. So sometimes from June onwards towards December, we've been tracking trust of different companies in Malaysia. So more than 100 plus brands to be precise. And to a sample of around 4,000 interviews. So this is a face-to-face interview. So we have been to the every corner of Malaysia as a representative sample across the Malaysian space, and interviewed people on, you know, some of the brands are the banking brands, some of them are their consumer durable brands, you know, some of them are FMCG brands, some of the other institutions, which is the government or government-linked companies, all these brands, and we asked them on a broad, you know, a set of questions, and what are they trust, which brands do they trust in Malaysia, and why do they trust, and also some of the other aspect, how open and honest do they find about the communication from these brands. So a range of around 15 to 20 questions actually.
And of course that range of questions talk about the management of the company, talks about the products or services of the company, talks about the long-term approach of the company, and some companies come ahead of the others. I don't know whether we can mention some of the companies here, but what makes one particular brand is trusted more than the other, at least across all the other verticals or the kind of variables that you put in?
Yes. So as you rightly pointed out, so there are certain different aspects of trust as well, right? So there is aspect of how companies are governed. That is one part, like, you know, the management of the companies itself, the brand as a, you know, brand is an important part when it comes to trust at the overall level. There, the customer experience and the quality that they receive, and also how the company is actually contributing back to the society, the community, societies, and to their own employees as well. So these are the four, what we call the pillars on which we try to measure companies as well. But this year, particularly, we have seen that how the companies are managed and how they actually cope up with the crisis came on the top. So how the companies adapted to the crisis is became one of the key influences of how people see trust in the organization. So if they manage to do well during the crisis situation, that has actually created a lot more trust for, you know, the general public and consumers in Malaysia.
I want to see if there's a direct correlation between having more trust in a company versus the sales that the company is making. And also, you know, inversely, would a company have little trust in the faith of the public but still get a lot of sales?
It is very true, because trust is not something that we cannot build immediately, right? I think that whether it is on individual relationship or the relationship with, you know, companies as well, it is something which has been built over the period of time, right? So as we put out the press release, some of the brands which the Malaysians trust, which is like Petronas and like, you know, Maybank and others, has been built over a period of time. So that's one part of that. But it's also helped them a lot, because the trusted brand, so there are different stakeholders that what we call a company engage. So consumers are one part of it, right? The other, so the one, when it comes to consumers or general public, if it is a company that I trust, One thing is that when things go wrong, I will actually give them some benefit of doubt. And that's an important aspect of it, right? So it's not possible the companies to work perfectly every time. So when there are mistakes happen from the company side, the consumers are willing to forgive a bit. And so we consider trust as probably as a reservoir from which the companies can actually utilize or drain when things are actually not in well in shape. So that is one, and we have already done some parallels and correlations as such. So a trusted brand's advertisement is more likely to be believed by people, and we are actually willing to pay more for a brand I trust. And a very typical example that we have seen is during when we had the first MCO came into play, sometimes in March, we were observing the sales of goods and services in Malaysia, and you would see the first brands which went out of the shelves of Malaysia are the brands which, you know, which are trusted by the consumers. But at the time of crisis, you will rely back on the companies that you trust. So it's a very, very important factor, to be honest, when it comes to business and to the current business and when you go to the future as well.
Arun, let's talk a little bit more about the five most trusted companies in Malaysia. According to your survey, Post Malaysia, Maybank, EPF, Petronas, Produa are these five brands. Again, Post Malaysia, Maybank, EPF, Petronas and Produa. My question to you is this, that on a layman kind of observational perspective, I would understand why these five brands are one of the more trusted brands in Malaysia. But each and every single one of them, if we were to find faults with them, there are some issues, right? Maybank because of lending policies, and you know it's a pandemic, we want longer moratorium. EPF, I want access to my savings. Petronas, you know, fossil fuel, we need to move into sustainable energy and so on. Everything, if we're out here to find faults, lah, basically.
Yeah.
So when you talk about pulling that reservoir of trust or confidence pool from this particular trust pool and put it back in the faith of the consumers, how does that address that long-term issues that I spoke of when it comes to these problems within the companies or the industries that they are performing in?
Okay, so this is something which we have to build over the time, right? So because I think globally, if you are an investor or somebody who is investing in the stocks and companies in general, you would look for the environmental, social, and the governance aspect at the overall level. And even for the consumers, that is getting increasingly important that the brands that they deal with should be somebody who is, as you rightly said, focusing on sustainability, focusing on the social issues and angles as well. So that's where some of the brands actually do well. But you did mention about the EPF, and they actually came up on the top when it comes to contributing back to the society or the community. They actually been, that's one of the routes through which they actually gained a higher trust in itself. Whereas in the case of Petronas and Maybank, these are, they have a lot of heritage, and they're currently leveraging on heritage that they have built over the period of time. But if the actions that these companies are taking is not in line with the direction that the consumers want to, as in the sense that making the right measures when are addressing these issues, as you highlighted, then that will eventually have an erosion of that trust. So in the past, we've been tracking this across multiple sectors across the world as well. It's not the same as in Malaysia. Malaysia, it has gone up a bit, but for the across the world, it hasn't been the same. So we haven't seen that at this juncture, there are companies who didn't really actually contribute to the society well or didn't adapt well. They actually lost trust among the consumers as such, because this is the time they expected, the general public expected companies to step up. And if they haven't done it, then definitely it has reflected on their trust level.
Do you feel that during 2020, because most of the year was covered in the issue of the pandemic, trust has been approached differently and has been built differently? In fact, it has been eroded differently as well. How has the pandemic affect trust for last year?
Okay, so the It has definitely, because it has disturbed everything, and definitely it has disturbed a lot of the companies and brands as well, right? So at the early stage of the pandemic, those brands which were already trusted was benefited a lot, because people relayed back on the things they trust. So that's the reservoir that we were speaking up. In the second stage of the pandemic, they expected the companies to act differently, or like, you know, to connect differently, or like, you know, one of the things which we measured during is that how open and honest were they in their communication to the public in general. So, and few companies actually failed on those. They were not adapting to the situation that the consumers and general public failed doing. So then they actually, that left to an erosion of trust in itself. And there are other companies which actually had to adapt differently. One of the things which globally we see is telecom as a sector. When people are working from home, we are using our Netflix and, you know, online education happening at home. Everyone at home is connected at the same time to the internet and thing. That even if telecom companies were doing their best, we have seen an erosion of trust, which is mostly coming from the experience angle of it, because the bandwidths and, like, you know, the speed of the internet, everything was affected, and it's actually affected telecom companies in general. So that's an whereas an experience actually brought down trust because of the pandemic specifically.
In another survey done by Ipsos, you guys studied the pandemic's impact on Malaysian workforce. Here it says Malaysia has more people working from home than global average. The levels of anxiety among 28 countries, Malaysia reports one of the highest, in fact the highest. Work-life balance is also struggled, but two-thirds of Malaysians are also finding it hard to struggle between work-life balance. And of course, for instance, for me, my kids are studying downstairs and here I am doing this show, for instance, and we're struggling to keep each and all, you know, the noise levels of each other is actually, you know, quite balanced, and we try to manage that. How has that impacted Malaysian consumers' view on trust? Not just about the company's management of trust over the past year, but the consumer's view of how trust is being built. You touched a little bit about how the erosion of trust amongst telcos have been, you know, I guess, hit last year. Is that going to continue? Something like that.
Yes. So as you rightly said, everyone is juggling a lot of things. Juggling in the sense that, and you have certain family pressure, and there is, you have a certain pressure from your organizations that you are working to continue to be productive and continue to be contributing. And a lot of time for the last 9 months, people are trying to figure out how best they can. And, you know, the engage, you know, everyone has a built-in frustration because they cannot go out and do whatever activities as such, right? So at that point, the last thing which consumers would want is to be hung up on a line on a call center, or if I am ordering for a delivery and that is not coming up on time, those, because it's add to the pressure that people are going through. So one of the basic expectations that people had in this year is that, you know, just make sure that you stick to your promise in terms of delivery in itself. And that is where the consumers or the general public has been much more harsh in evaluating people in this year. If you are not able to, you know, stick to the promise that you have made, as in the sense that I will get the delivery at this time, you will get an uninterrupted service at this period of time, that would have actually created a lot more frustration, and that's actually affected people trust in companies in itself, because I've been dealing with you for, you know, as an organization for the last 10 years or 15 years, and this is a very troubling time for me. So this is the time that you would need for you to support me and, like, you know, stick to your promise. And if the companies couldn't do, then it will affect them really badly, because they would be, so it will actually change their perception of these companies when they move to 2021 and 2022, because yeah, people always, you know, remember at the hard time people who supported us, right? So
yeah, what about the whole culture of cutting somebody some slack? We've seen how this is practiced to some degree by some cultures. In Malaysia, I would assume it's a little bit more than most cultures. Do you feel that that is coming into play, or that whole, you know, corporate customer relationship hard as stone is going to be implemented instead of that whole, you know, man, it's okay, no problem, chin chai, that kind of stuff?
You're absolutely right, because I think Malaysians, what we have seen from the global survey, are more likely to forgive companies and, you know, let it go to an extent compared to some of our, you know, the neighbors in the region and, you know, some of the global peers as well. So we never, we have a less scrutiny of organizations compared to what it used to be. But I think we are also getting exposed to the level of service that we get across the globe. So you would have always, our Astro in terms of media entertainment will always get compared to Netflix. In its sense of quality and content and everything. So the level of expectation is increasing over the period of time, and that's definitely will have. So the delivery and the service from the organization has to also, you know, keep tap with that. So over the period of time, I would expect that Malaysian expectation would reach at the same level. And when the expectation increases, we are less likely to forgive.
All right. Arun, we'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll conclude our conversation on the Trust Track by Ipsos. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back. I am Ibrahim. You are watching Notepad. On the line right now is Arun. He's from Ipsos. The both of us are talking about Ipsos's Trust Track, which measures the trustworthiness of companies based on the view of the 4,000 interviews that they've done. And it's not just done for the first time. It's been done a few times, and we are comparing the two periods right now. Arun, let's talk about the general consensus of trust. Is trust getting being built more or less over time across the markets that you tested this survey on?
So trust is what I would consider is more of short supply at this point of time that we would have. And we have, since we've been monitoring it over the period of time across different countries and region, we have seen that overall trust level that the general public has been decreasing over the period of time. So that's partly driven by the system in which each of us are living, as in the sense that the information that we are receiving, and we are less likely to trust organization, businesses and people today than probably 5 years back. That's part of it, is that the sources of information that we have, endless source of information, and we tend to be less relying on this information because we cannot be sure, you know, this is the age of fake news or, you know, alternative facts and truths and everything. So for a layman, it is very challenging to trust someone or some business as it or he used to 5 years back. So over the period of time, so we see that overall trust level is eroding. We would see even the professions. We have done this same exercise for professions. And of course, politicians definitely are the least trusted, irrespective of whichever country they are from. Whereas if you are a doctor...
It comes with a job, Arun. If you want to be a politician, you've got to be less trustworthy. I think that's the whole going here.
So, yeah, but if you're a doctor or a scientist, you are by default trusted by most of the, general public in itself. So, but we have seen that even that over the period of time, we see an erosion of that across, not just in Malaysia, every country.
So Aaron, looking back 5 years trending, does this give a clear, some indication of what the next 5 years is going to be, that trust is going downhill from here onwards?
So it would be because we never predicted what's going to happen in 2020, right? And we are quite unsure of how it is going to be. I think the trajectory of going down, it will be there. I don't see that it's going to be recovering as it is, because even previous, the 5 years, like, you know, 10 years back, it used to be much more, people used to be much more trusting each other and their organizations and the businesses as such. And so the trajectory, unless there is a major confidence building across institutions and in the, you know, the companies, it will, you know, continues to go down. We have seen that. I think the biggest dip that we are seeing globally has been on the public institutions, which are related to, you know, for example, government or government-linked entities. We have seen that been eroding across the world because of different factors and polarizations and opinions and stuff. And we would see that direction of, you know, because they used to be seen at a very high regard. Over the period of time, they've been eroding faster than probably as private sector. Within the private sector, we would see that financial sector in Malaysia and South Asia has been quite stable, but that's not the case with, you know, the US and the European markets because of the financial crisis in the past and, you know, more regulatory pressure. Whereas in the Asia, that seems to be quite stable, and hopefully that will remain stable as well.
The final questions with for you would be on the concept of influencers, and we've seen how mega influencers, you know, with millions of followers on their social sites, tend to gain more trustworthiness aspect in terms of them talking about a particular brand or a product. Is this something subjective, or have you measured this as well?
We in some markets we do actually measure that, not yet in Malaysia. So some of our markets where we measure the trustworthiness of celebrities, you know, trustworthiness of influencers. This is a big part when for the companies to know when if you are selecting a celebrity or influencer, does this person has been seen as a trustworthy person, or, you know, is relevant to the, what the company stands for. The same for the influencer as well, before they start endorsing a company, whether that, you know, brand actually relate to my DNA of, you know, or like my value system in itself. So this is very important as well. And I and social media is or like, you know, the online channels are probably much more critical and harsh when people actually deviate from that. So as in the sense that we would know that in even among Asian celebrities or Asian influencers, what I put it, if they stray from the path of what they are endorsing, whatever the value system, they will lose millions of followers quickly. And so, and they are very conscious of that, and they try to maintain that in a rigorous way. To maintain their trust level, to or the hold on their, you know, the celebrities, on their followers in itself. It's also built by over the period, because trust is also quite well correlated with advocacy. So if my celebrity is endorsing, I have no doubt to endorse or advocate that product or a service as such, right? So it has a huge financial return. So the trust is actually is a huge business for the influencers and celebrities.
All right. Thank you, Arun. Final question. How do you think trust is going to be built now that we know that these are the, you know, factors involved? Maybe one or two things that you can share that either influencers or entities out there can actually pick up some notes from.
Okay, so one of the two aspects which we have seen is that be authentic, or, you know, be real on what they do are. And that, I think that might be quite a basic suggestion that we have, but that's actually goes a long way. Because if you are a person or a company, be real about what you are and be honest about what you communicate. That is something has actually goes a long way in terms of building trust. The second part of it is that whatever that you communicate, whether it's a brand or whether it's a person or whether it's a politician, whatever that you your communication and act has to match, right? Your promise and delivery when it comes to a brand promise and the delivery has to match as such, right? So you cannot have a high brand health or brand equity and you have a very bad customer service in itself, right? So that will cause to a erosion. So the matching of your promise and delivery is also equally important. So being authentic and, you know, stand for what actually you promised is the two important facts. And the main part of everything is that trust is something built over time. It is not been built on a short period, as in it cannot be built by two communication. It has to be sustained over the period of time. So there is not shortcut to build that. So that's something, a third suggestion that we will have.
Fantastic. What a way to end. That was Arun Menon, the Managing Director of Ipsos Malaysia. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad over there. Also, you can download the Astro Awani app and watch these kind of interviews on your mobile devices. Just go to any Google Play or Apple App Store and download Astro Awani right there. Until then, thanks very much for watching. And thank you, Arun, for taking the time to spend with us.
Thank you for having us.
Until next time, goodbye.